did that last night. Okay, let's get started. And okay, we have a quorum. It is 4:07. And I'd like to bring the Environmental Services Advisory Committee meeting for Thursday, January 12th, 2023 to order. Let me start with item one for the roll call. We have, let's see, Fred Ariza is absent. Margo Garcia.
Present.
Yolanda Herrera.
Here.
Mike Harrier.
Present.
Let's see, Trevor Ledbetter is absent. Susanna Shippers.
I'm here.
Elvira Suarez-Din.
Here.
Ryan Thomas.
Present.
And Chris Yarder, present. Okay. Oh, this will be quick because we don't have to do the minutes. For item two, chairperson's report, I just wanted to say Happy New Year, and I wanted to commend and congratulate Carlos for being persistent in the study session and mayor and council meetings and everybody that helped you get there. And so at least we got 1 year locked in. So that's good news. Let's go to item three, director's report. So now you can give us more detail, the proposed environmental service rate adjustments.
Okay, well, good afternoon, and thank you for your thoughts and comments. Really appreciate it. Certainly it was a team effort. Obviously you were an integral part of that discussion and that recommendation and that process. So certainly was a lot of work on everybody's part, but I think we got it to a point that essentially it's a good understanding in terms of where we at, what are the resources that are needed, and really what do we need really to move forward. So the only update on in that regard for those of you that didn't follow the meeting is Mayor and Council really approved essentially the rate increase for the residential rate. So there's two components to that. One, really adjusting the rate, and I'm just going to discuss the basic 95 gallon service. It's essentially it's going to go up effective February 13th of this year, essentially going from $16.75 a month to $20 a month. One of the caveats, and the council, my understanding, approved the secondary increase effective January 1st, 2024 to $23, with the caveat that we needed to review the commercial rates prior to that adjustment. So that's how it was voted, that's how I understand it, but certainly they want to look at essentially the cost to provide the service to commercial customers and the fee structure that is associated with that. We also got to keep in mind though that how we establish rates and how we go about designing rates is based on a cost of service. So we got to look at silos. So one thing is a residential rate, the other thing is a commercial rate, and then the other one is the landfill rate. Certainly from policy perspective, one activity can subsidize the other, but that's not the approach that we have taken over the years. So that's certainly something that we would have to embark on really doing a more robust cost of service for residential customers and more really doing, we feel comfortable with the 10%. Probably that increase may be a little bit anywhere between an additional 2 to 3% or even to the tune of another 10%. But it's not really based on a cost of service, but really is based on what the market can bear. Okay. And so that's something that we will take a look at that. And I think it may be a slight deviation in terms of really how we have done business. So the city, we always wanted to be really the local choice. We want to provide a service to small businesses and local businesses. And so really our practices and our way of doing businesses is not really what some of the big corporations are doing. So that's certainly something that probably we will uncover, and we will take a look at it as we move through that prior to November. So we're going to have some work ahead of us, As we review the studies, as we review the scope, as we review those results, and then come up with a recommended rate for the council really to look at it on around the second, essentially the second meeting in November of this year, prior to the proposed implementation or the implementation of the secondary rate adjustment of $3 effective January 1st, 2024. The other component of that is they asked us to, is really to look at essentially the contract for Republic Services. So that's the other components is we got to look at that before we jump into that. Let's see where we at. It's just like the analogy that I can use in that regard is if you are in a city and you only have one grocery store, the grocery store can really can dictate how much they can charge you for the services you're providing. You know that there is a choice that you can actually go to another city and you can do that. But if you know you are the only local provider and you can certainly monopolize essentially that that pricing and the services that you provide, that's essentially the situation we're in. So when we compare ourselves to Phoenix, Phoenix is a little bit different because obviously a little bit larger city, they got two or three different MRFs that they can certainly look into that as compared to us. So those are some of the things that, that as we look into the contract, we would have to look at seeing what was the premise of the original agreement, who was basically the business organization at that point in time, who is the organization at this point in time, are we ready to keep the assets condition, or should we do something a little bit different? And so that's what is going to be discussed as part of the review of the contract before we review the amendment. And obviously, more detail as it relates to the contract itself and really what does that really mean moving forward in the provision of those services and really maybe making some policy decisions moving forward prior to the execution or as part of the execution of that amendment
to continue with those services.
So those are the two things that we have to that we're working on. We have delayed essentially the discussion with Republic. We got some direction from the city manager's office really to delay that, get some idea in terms of where the council was, get some direction from the council. We're scheduled to meet with them the week of, not next week, but the following week, really just to really continue that dialogue and see if we can make ends meet. But we're probably not gonna be in a position to really move forward at our level without any input from the council. So, and then the other approvals that took place, essentially 10% across the board for all commercial accounts. That is again effective February 13th of this year. And also the gate rate fee increase of $3 for all commercial customers, again, effective the same day thereof. So, it quantifies really for an infusion of roughly that one-time adjustment of about $3.5 million. So that's certainly give us a good boost moving forward. So again, thank you and thank the council and for that support and providing us with the tools really to get to serve you. So thank you.
Question.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. Carlos, can you, excuse me, talk a little bit more? I mean, I listened to some of the recording and heard some of the discussion about the MRF contract. I'm a little confused by what you just said. Could you talk a little bit more what your understanding is? I mean, Steve Kozacek was pushing for an executive session to discuss it. And you've said now that you've held up on any change. You know, you have been going through a process since the middle of summer on a month-by-month basis, extending the contract at the unfavorable rate for us, though I noticed that a lot of the commodities have been dropping again, the price of them. Oh,
so
is this thing more a grander discussion, do you think, about since it's 5 years out, are we looking already at starting our own plans? What can you tell us a little more about that?
Ms. Margo, that's exactly probably discussions that the mayor and council may want to have. They certainly may want to understand really what are the stipulations on the contract, really to continue with the contract or make some amendments to the contract, not only just on the pricing component, but really just the services and the conditions of the contract, so that the council really wants to understand where we at and what are some of the options or restrictions that are associated with that agreement. Obviously, as part of the discussion of the rates, some council members asked us really what was the true cost of recycling. We provided that, and so I think that really prompted a lot of discussion and a lot of interest in terms of really continuing in the services in the assets condition. So realizing that when you think you're the only provider, that there is some setbacks on that. So how do we combine all the decisions from a policy, from a financial perspective, from an operating perspective, really to continue in the as-is condition, or should we really start giving staff some direction to move in a different path? And that path could be today, or it could be just immediate, or it could be a year, 2 years, 3 years down the road. So that's what's essentially what the discussion will probably center around that as we move along.
So, I mean, one of the things you said was the sort of those conditions, and I know there's been some questions about the plastics, pulling the plastic section out of, you know, Kozacik's efforts to removing plastics, some plastics that were not being handled by the MRF, and that apparently Republic has not been at all interested in cooperating or, you know, working on this issue. Is it written into the contract that all plastics will go to the MRF, or how is that worded about the plastics? Do you know?
So there's a distinction. So in terms of the pilot program that Councilmember Kozacik is embarking on, it's really pretty much plastic film or plastic that really doesn't meet the requirements of, or really what the taking the materials into the MRF as it exists today. So that's so we're talking about two different things, okay? And that's why we've been very careful in terms of saying we want to make sure that you as residents of Tucson follow the rules in terms of what can be recycled, and that's still put it in the bin, and that's still going to be processed by Republic. But if there's other plastics that don't meet that criteria, that essentially being commonly used, but yet you can recycle them, but you can put them in the trash. But if you can find an alternate source of really recycling and reuse, that's really where the pilot program is all about. So it's really, and as we embark, is the whole interest is really bring awareness that in terms of the use of the plastics, that essentially what it really takes really to put the product to a good use, and really how what mechanisms or systems need to put in place really to essentially to divert and reuse that plastic as compared to what could be recycled through the MRF. And so it's really just bringing awareness and really in terms of not only what is needed, what the cost, but also really trying to find a kind of a different way of say, can we find other options in terms of reusing the plastic, not generating enough plastic. So he's got a multitude of components, and that's really the value of that of the pilot program, because it's also could be represented in terms of litter control. It could be represented in terms of many things that has multiple benefits, and is not just purely just a waste diversion strategy. It's really is finding a local use. And so it's a multi-pronged approach as it relates to the pilot, different than essentially than what's being processed in the MRF, and never was really the intent to really supplant or remove any of the plastics so that way we can divert them over here. No, we're still separating those two things out. And so that has never been a real point of contention. Okay. on the agreements, on the discussions.
Okay, that was my concern, was whether Republic was dragging its heels because it felt some of the product that it wanted and which had been quite highly valued a few months ago was being diverted from it. But I think you've explained that it's really this totally different, more film oriented. And I must say, as a person participating, I'm absolutely flabbergasted at the amount of that thin film plastic, you know, from all kinds of things, from the bags that come around frozen food to, you know, wrappers, just unbelievable. I mean, I fill up the bag so quickly. It's quite astonishing.
It's a good thing.
A real education to me.
Is there anything else you'd like to add, Carlos, or does anyone else have a question?
I guess if no one else asks a question, I did listen to the part where the mayor suggested it be broken into two and a quarter, two and two. Did that just get completely dropped finally?
My understanding, it was. And, okay. And essentially, that was the final agreement, or the amendment would be, as the motion would be, was to approve the $3.25 increase now. And then with a caveat that residential rates needed to be looked at, that commercial rates needed to be looked at prior to the second implementation of the residential, of the secondary adjustment.
And the push for the commercial was really coming from Council Member Cunningham, as I recall the discussions. And it was that he was feeling that we were way under the price that the commercial firms, well, let's just use their name, Republic, et cetera, were charging commercial. Do you have those actual figures? Do we know that that's true?
Again, Ms. Margo, that this is a distinction in terms of the businesses. Okay, so we don't operate, we operate as a business, but we don't operate like a business. Okay, or we operate like a business, but we don't operate as a business. Okay. And so in terms of really the way we're structured is we charge our customers based on a cost of service.
Yeah.
And really trying to cover our expenditures. The private providers or the local haulers, they not only have to meet that, but obviously you've got profits, and then you, and depends on what the market can bear, you sure. can certainly increase those costs really to recover more additional dollars. We're not set up that way, and we could, but again, that's something that we always get flagged that we are competing with the private sector, and that's what we essentially have remained our practice really for our expenses. Could that be the possibility that our prices are lower? I don't think they're that much lower. I think we're very comparable, and if not, we would be having a lot of people knocking on our doors if our prices were very, very attractive. So our prices are posted, are public, people know that. I think I don't think we're so underpriced. I could be totally wrong, but I don't think that is the case. When we control roughly 20% of the market, we're having a lot of people interested in really having our services. But it's not so much from the cost, it's really from the service, and that we're seeing a lot of folks approaching us. And we hadn't seen that for the past 2 to 3 years. So that gives me an idea that our pricing is not distinctly different than what's being provided by some of the haulers.
Okay, well, that's good to hear, because there was a time when our prices went up, and all of the this is to the commercial, and all of the commercial firms went around, and because we have to post them as a public entity and underbid what we were doing, and so we lost a lot of customers. And the fact that they're talking about returning again suggests to me that the differential has switched. So that's interesting to know. I wondered, because Cunningham was making these broad assertions, and I hadn't seen any data to support them.
Any more questions? Okay, let's move on to item 4. Do you have anything to say about the zero waste update?
So obviously we took a break during the holidays. We were trying to get ourselves reactivated in terms of really reviewing the final documents. So we have reviewed all the working papers that essentially make up the zero waste plan. Now it's really looking at assembling all the information and coming up with a summary. So we are in the process of reviewing that, getting that assembled, and getting that finalized in the next couple of weeks. Our goal is, once that is somewhat in a final draft, we'll bring it to you so you can take one final review and take a look at it and see if there's any possible modifications that need to be made. And then with that, we'll essentially take the same document and provide it to the council for their review, consideration, and approval. So we're hoping really to do that. Our goal is really somewhere in February, because one of the things that the city's really pushing is really the adoption of the Climate Action Plan and Tucson Resiliency Plan by, I believe, the first meeting in March. So certainly our goal would be for us to be able to get our plan approved or before that major plan is adopted. So that's where we're at on that one.
Anything really interesting in the working papers that you want to share? Or?
The only thing is certainly there's a lot of uncertainty in terms of capital cost and operating cost, given the supply chain issues. So some of those costs are a little bit higher than what I anticipated. But I'm just, the approach that I'm taking is those, it is a planning document. Once we start identifying some of the technologies, some of the initial strategies, that would essentially dictate further development of those ideas, those concepts into more of a formalized cost estimate and programming dollars. That would give us a better indication of where we're at. So it's certainly costly. It's certainly, it would be, we need to make some investments and some tough decisions moving forward. But I think there are some low-hanging fruits that that we can certainly begin to tap sooner rather than later on that. So, and one of the things that we're looking at that is there is a federal grant out of the Solid Waste Infrastructure Fund. It's about $100 million nationwide. I think $30 million could be given to cities. And so we're basically putting together a proposed application. Maximum amount of applications is about $4 million. Our intent, really preliminary, is really begin to set up anywhere between 6 to 8 drop-off locations for organics drop-offs, food waste, and some organics. And they would be manned locations. They would be essentially be placed in parks, but we would be operating them anywhere between a couple hours per site per week, or maybe up to 4 to 6 hours per week, depending on the location and the use. So that's really kind of where we at. So we don't have all the details because we just are barely begin to talk about it, but we know that organics diversion is a key component of our waste diversion. And so that's what we think we want to do that. And maybe potentially with the discussion that the council may have on, is going to have on the 24th regarding the bifusion and the plastic version, how do we maybe couple those things together? And there is a lot of interest of really resurrecting the Ward 2 recycling center. Ward 4 is really interested in really expanding that. So maybe can by this program, can we supplant that program, or can we replace some of those programs? So again, a lot of concepts, a lot of ideas that are still floating up in the air.
Cool. Any more questions? Okay. All right, let's move on to item 5, the monthly finance report.
Okay. So Mr. Harrier, we have not made that much progress. So I really apologize for that. And one of the other updates related to essentially our financial situation, Vicky Molt, who was our finance manager, her last day with us was last Friday. She accepted a position with the University of Arizona. So we, at this point in time, we don't have it assigned a finance manager. There's other finance manager vacant positions within the city. There's about 5. I think this would make it the 6th or maybe the 5th position that is vacant. So certainly there is there's some gap in there. And so we'll continue to struggle on that end, especially on trying to get The real numbers really still, city's still struggling with the implementation of the workday program, the finances, the budgets. And while we're doing that, we started the process on fiscal year 24. So that doesn't really help things out. But certainly there is a lot of, I would say, resources that need to be, that are being planned or being diverted or assigned to this effort to make sure that we get that system implemented fully, the sooner the better. So what you see in there is really just, if you can just maybe bring it up a little bit more, Brittany, if you can, please, just so that way you can see the bottom figures. So essentially what you see, so that's, I think that's good. So the where we at right now is you'll see the fiscal year 22 revenue actuals. You'll see essentially the fiscal year 23 adopted, and you see fiscal year 23 projections. What we don't see is where we at actual. So that's what we're missing in the reporting. So all you're really seeing is what we adopted, what we're projecting, and so that's the difference that you see, whether it's in the plus or it's in the minus. So as it relates to revenue, there's really two things to point out at a macro scale. One, if you see down kind of towards the three quarters of the page, you'll see refuse landfill service fees. We had projected that we're going to be receiving about $8.3 million. That we're projecting that we're probably going to be somewhere in the neighborhood of $10 million or over $10.8 million. That was one of the biggest increases that we're projecting. The self-hauler fee, we were projecting about $2 million. We think we're going to be projecting about $2 million or an additional $1 million on that. And we so that's a plus. And we still are projecting just what we had in the past, around $600,000 in losses in our investment pool. So when you look at a macro scale, we were projecting to bring in roughly $53.3 million in revenue. We're really projecting about $56.2 million. Keep in mind that those amounts do not include the rate increases that have been approved yesterday. So we will have to make some adjustments on that to reflect what that revenue will come in. So that's it. I don't know if there's any questions, concerns on that end.
No, thank you, Carlos, for the explanation.
I'm surprised that the projected is less than last year's actual. Why is there the difference? 56 million compared to 57.8.
It's just probably just on the landfill fees, the commercial fees.
Okay.
So we're looking at last year, we looked at 10 point. No, I stand corrected. I think it's on.
It's the residential that's the lower.
Residential.
Mm-hmm. It was 30 and the projected is 27,857, 29,857. So that isn't taking in the new rate increase, which would bring that back up. Okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Especially since you're starting it before the beginning of the fiscal year. So that'll bring in a couple of mil extra, I guess.
Yes. Okay. And if we want to, I don't know if there's no further questions on the revenue, if we can just look at, go over the capital, report on the capital projects. So on that, it gives you on that list, again, you've seen this before, it gives you the list of the projects. It gives you an outlook in terms of on those projects, what we spent in fiscal year 22, what essentially we adopted in terms of really the budget for fiscal year 23. And this is where we think we're gonna end up in fiscal year 23. So that's what you see in the blue column. So let me just kind of go through them quickly. Bathroom and locker room remodeling, that's building 6 where our operators work out of report. That project is getting pretty much completed at the end of the month, if not the early part of February. So that's gonna be done. I think it was a great investment. So we essentially are pretty much complete with that project. Los Reales Buffer Northeast Landscaping. We finalized the final scope of work for the first phase, and that really encompasses really fencing improvements along the northern part of the landfill, adding really essentially the multi-use pathway, focusing on planting that area. And doing some paving improvements at the intersection of Craig Croft and Los Reales, and bringing those improvements into the facility itself. So scope of work is approved. We're finalizing the contract, so we can essentially get going with the design and of those improvements. The HHW Los Reales relocation, essentially all the concrete has been poured, columns have been erected, measurements were taken really for the roof. We are scheduled to essentially get the connexes, the hazardous waste connexes delivered to us at the end of the month. So that continues to be work in progress. We're really hoping that we'll essentially get that project finalized before the end of this fiscal year. Continued maintenance relocation. We had a two-day workshop earlier this week, and this is really where staff really walked the site, not only the container maintenance site, but also the site at the Thomas Price Center, look at what's out there, how do we operate today, how do we want to operate in the future, did some space planning, so that way they can start looking and crafting some design. So that's ongoing. Still really the mandate to me is we need to be out of that container facility by January 1st of next year. So we certainly can't do all the improvements within that year. So if that effective date is still on the table, we may have to do some things a little bit different in terms of how we operate to be able to be out of the facility, be able to meet the operational requirements, and still essentially shift a lot of those containers to Los Reales. So that's that work is ongoing, design is ongoing, and so hopefully we'll get a good design in the next couple weeks, be able to get that get it reconfigured, and then will give us an idea of a good planning document to move forward. Los Reales Gas to Energy Project, we received 9 proposals total. We're continuing to evaluate those proposals. The city has a specific requirement how we go out about evaluating those proposals. So there's basically a specific team or group that it's assembled by statute and by city regulations, create some voting members. I am one of those voting members. There's also requirements for a registrant really to be part of that. That either an architect, also a contractor needs to be part of that. So I fulfill the requirement of the registrant, plus I'm with the city. We do have a contractor on board from Lloyd Construction, who's helping out with the review. And we also have Rhett Cromwell from Transit, who's also helping us evaluate it on the city's behalf. So the timeline really to make the selection is in the next, in terms of the first phase, it's reviews need to be done within 60 days. So that is essentially what I mentioned to you is really the voting members or the selection committee, but we also have a lot of voting members. There's specific essentially number of folks that need to be there. So there's folks with operational background, there's folks from finance. So there's a lot of folks that are essentially are part of that. I think there's a total of 6 to 8 members. I know Frank Bonillas is one of them, Lisa Rotel is another person, Scott Clark from the city, Amber Kerwin from Tucson Water is also there. So those are the folks that are gonna be part of the evaluation committee. So again, we're just barely got that going. There's a meeting this morning where we organize ourselves on that. And that's where we're at right now. Congress landfill excavation, I don't see that much movement on that project. I did get some direction from the city manager's office that they really are not interested in continuing to invest into that facility. I just voiced a concern that we need to be a good neighbor. We need to clean up that area. We need to make sure that our goodwill or good investment doesn't really get tarnished. So we may just have to do some work here and there, really, just to keep it a little bit more in a much better appearance. So that's where we're at. Los Reales computer upgrade is done. CNG third compressor is done. Los Reales landfill cell 4B. We had our pre-bid conference yesterday. I think we had a total of between 5 to 7 contractors. I wasn't able to attend because I was in the council meeting, but that's what I understood. So we're working through that. Bids are due in a couple of weeks. So hopefully we'll get our cell done pretty soon. Okay, so that just gives you an idea of where we're at on the capital program.
Plenty to do. All right. Is there more to this finance you want to go through, or?
So we can go very quickly. I think there's again, they're bundled in terms of functional areas. Again, you'll see essentially what was adopted, what was projected, really where the difference between one of them. I don't know if there's, you can maybe review it if there's any questions on that. Again, the major components on that is it's really still, if you compare apples to apples, there's no comparison apples to apples because one budget in fiscal year 22 versus 23 were done in different systems. So there's no straight comparison. But again, if using the spreadsheet, if you see one number versus the other, that's where you get the number calculated. So I don't think that report gives you a good understanding of where we are today. It just gives you what we adopted, what's being projected, the comparison between them. But again, keep in mind with a grain of salt is that we're not comparing apples to apples on differentiating the 2 years.
Right. So basically, this report tells us nothing. We don't have actuals. We don't have any of that. So do they have any idea when that system is going to be up and implementing? And
so the system is implemented, okay?
I mean, you know what I mean.
Right.
Do they have a, you know, 6 months from now?
I think it's a tighter time frame. I think that what they're really are their effort is got it going, got it implemented, got specific modules that is into our priority, ensuring to make sure that we were able to do payroll, ensure that we essentially were able to pay the bills, and that we run into some glitches with utility billing on that. I think we're basically got a good pathway. Now it's really reconciling, and this is where we are right now, reconciling the previous budgets data into the new system, really recreating the new budget. So I'm venturing to say it's within the 90 days. Within 90 days, all that should be basically taken care of. And I think.
But I'm not supposed to hold you to it, right?
I didn't say 90 days from when.
Well done.
You're learning, Carlos.
Definitely.
Oh, from today.
Oh, dear.
Okay. Well, I think we covered everything pretty much. It's nice having this handout on the rate adjustments for all the fees.
Yep.
Yes.
Okay. Shall we move on? Item 6, Margo, were you going to go over our?
Well, we didn't have a meeting because we couldn't make quorum.
That was for December.
No, that was this month.
Oh, right.
We were able to meet.
But we didn't meet December.
either.
Yeah.
Neither December nor January. So we're quite far behind.
Okay. I didn't know if there was any to report from November. Yeah. Okay.
If there's anything, I would just say I'm looking at the prices on the commodities from the MRF, things are going down fast. So that in fact, the amount of money the city is having to pay is increasing dramatically, which is not the right direction. Anything, Carlos, you're nodding your head. Do you have anything else to add?
Yes.
So maybe one of the things that I want to suggest is in terms of really looking at those subcommittees would be, and again, this is obviously your decision, your direction, but some of those subcommittees we have not met for a while. And it's hard to meet quorum with the full ESAC. And it's much, much more difficult really to meet quorum for the individual committees. So what I was venturing to suggest is maybe we maybe pause at least for the time, for the moment, those maybe the subcommittee groups and maybe we still cover during full ESAC, the essentially those reports, but we take turns in terms of the topic. So maybe 1 month we essentially look at collections, maybe the following month we essentially look at engineering, and the other month we go in education. So we stagger those, or maybe address maybe one or two a meeting, create some sort of a I would say schedule pattern, so that when we're discussing those at full ESAC, we continue to move things and provide the information up front. But again, that's just so that way we essentially try to continue with our business, continue to provide the information. We got some new members essentially that may be interested in gaining information on all the different topics. But I think it's certainly, I think one of the reasons that you went and really decided really to create those subcommittee was, one, didn't want to make sure that those meetings were 3-4 hours long. Two, make sure that essentially that we just cover things specifically. So I think we may be able to do that. Again, if we maybe could stagger the reporting of those or those topics every other meeting. So again, that's just what I want to suggest on that, because certainly, yeah, in last month, it was really as a result of us not being here in town that we really didn't mm-hmm. meet. So, but some of the other ones like engineering, it hasn't met. I think we met once last year. And on that, there's a lot of stuff that could be covered. Finance was the same thing. So
we met once.
Mm-hmm, right. So that's just something for you guys to consider. That's all I want to say. Thank you, Ms. Margo. Thank you, Ms. Chris.
Well, that's an interesting idea. I guess one of the reasons, having been at the beginning when we started these subcommittees, and in fact, originally the waste diversion collections and educations was two committees, and we put it together because we realized that when we were discussing education, we were essentially discussing all the time waste diversion, and was just very repetitive. So we put it together. We often have an hour and a half, 2 hour meetings. Right. As you say, maybe it's one of the reasons is, of course, we've added code enforcement, which actually doesn't show up in any of our requirements, of what's happening. And we haven't heard as much about collections, though we do keep track of, the new routes and the expansions. I noticed there was a lot of confusion. One of the things I wanted to talk about was a tremendous confusion this holiday season. In my neighborhood, which is usually pretty with it, people had their materials, people didn't put out on the 26th of December, and then they put everything out in January, which wasn't the right day to put it with. And so I think people were really quite, that was not handled as well as it might have. And we really didn't discuss that. But when we have this holiday, the actual holiday on a Sunday, and then the city takes the holiday the next day, I think we have to do a much stronger discussion for people. I'm sure the pickups were very, very light, because a lot of people assumed if there was a holiday that, they would not be being picked up and everything would be moved, as it is sometimes. So there are things in collections and some of the new routes that are happening. I think we could certainly try it. It certainly would give a very different flavor to these meetings, because the amount of information on the waste diversion that we go over and that we need to go over, there is so much where we need to be innovating and picking up on things and what's happening with the plastics and the bifusion and other ideas. There are, you just brought up about the organics as a potential. I've had people asking me, you know, they used to be part of that pail project where they put out, you know, pails of material and that all stopped. When is that getting going again? So, you know, there's a lot of interest in that organics that you talked about. And so that was new to me that you were thinking about putting in a proposal for it. I think it's a great idea.
And I was thinking too, and I've mentioned this to Brittany a couple times, that I think that full ESEC would benefit from knowing a little more about environmental services, their costs, you know, just basic maintenance, and, you know, and problems getting drivers and, you know, all that stuff. Something other than just going through numbers.
Right. Chris, I would say my thought is that we all go back and think about it. We can add it as a future agenda item for next meeting. And I think that's, you know, we'll all go back and come up with our pros and cons of, you know, keeping the committees or, you know, dissolving them and just having a staggered and maybe coming up with a staggered plan.
Yeah, I do like having a chance to meet with Pat Tapia and Christina Polesgrove. So,
well, we could have.
I don't know. We can sandwich them in to our full ESEC meetings. I don't know how that would work out.
So that will be the idea, is that they would essentially, that information will still be presented by them. So that wouldn't change. It's really just, instead of just doing it to a subcommittee, we would do it to a full ESAC. But then if it takes 2 hours really to do that, can we dissect a discussion? Maybe we cover one thing, maybe one month, we cover something else the following month, and maybe, and then we just alternate the different things. Because even on the engineering things or projects, nothing really majorly changes from one month to the other. We could probably just provide a quarterly update on that. Same thing happens on the finances stuff as well. Maybe we could look at it every quarter, and even part of the full ESAC, maybe we just do it every quarter, and maybe we do a full finance discussion on that. So I think there's ways, and I think what Mike pointed out is probably best really to discuss that on a separate agenda item. I know we deviated from that.
Let's have that put on for next month. And everybody can think about the pros and cons of doing that. So, because we do cover a lot in you know, the waste diversion collections and education. So,
well, and I think the engineering too, with all the work that's going on in the at the sustainability campus, you know. We haven't heard, other than the fact that it's going out to bid, we haven't, and that we've seen the larger general plan, we don't really know what's happening to that berming, what's happening where they're crossing the arroyos. I mean, there's some land use issues that are there, and as well as with the waste to energy. Be nice to meet Mr. Scott Clark, who's in charge of that, and have him give us a report on where they are. Maybe after the bid comes in, then he can tell us what's happening. I understand that he's the one that's in charge of that project. Is that right, Carlos?
So he's overseeing parts of that. I think still continue. I continue to be kind of the lead person on okay. a lot of the projects, not only from the engineering perspective, but also from a management perspective, still oversee some of the stuff. So he's helping out in different areas, and that's one of the areas that he's part of the reviewer of that project.
What other areas is he working on?
So he's working, he's helping us really, again, develop the scope of work for phase one of sustainability campus. He's also helped us with the development of the green fleet transition plan. He's also is helping us out really manage the individual project of the HHW improvements. What else? I think those are some of, and he's also helping us out on the architecture and engineering side of things, are really managing some of the other projects there as well.
In general services, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Are there other agenda items that any of you would like to put on for next month?
Will we have the decision on the gas to energy by next month?
I don't think so. I think it's going to be longer than that for next month. I think we're probably going to be in March when I think getting close to make a decision on that.
Okay, because when we do, I think we should have a pretty in-depth discussion of what the, you know, what the parameters of those contracts are.
Right, right.
So I think we got to keep in mind this is a two-step approach. So one is really based on qualifications. And so that's the first iteration. The way it's set up today is that we may pick up to three of those firms to come in and really present and be selected for further consideration. So then interviews and selection, then there's going to be another step where essentially they're required to submit, those selected firms will be required to submit not only a technical, but a cost proposal. And a financial proposal moving forward. So that's something that at that point in time, someone will be selected. But at least from the first round, yeah, we can certainly provide you who those firms are and the merits of why they were selected.
Okay. Well, if there's no other additions to future agenda item, let's move to item 9, adjournment.
So, all to the audience?
No, I don't think we've got an audience, do we? So it's 4:59. So we made it, Elvira. Yeah,
that's perfect.
You're off. Okay. I am. All right. Thank you, everyone. Good to see you.
Happy New Year.
Thanks for your work, Carlos.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye. Bye.